Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Dottie.
Hi, Jeannie. How you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. I just came back from my walk, so I'm feeling much better. The sun's out for a change.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Got my vitamin D for the day.
Yeah. That's a good feeling.
It is. And I'm sweaty.
Wow.
So. Oh, goodness. But it was nice and cool this morning to walk, so it was good.
That's good. And we had a little rain yesterday morning, a little bit, not a lot, but
uh-huh.
It was kind of unique.
Yeah. You don't get rain?
Not a whole lot. Mm. We do have a monsoon season this time of year, so we have storms that roll in, and it was kind of overcast most of the day.
Oh.
So it was kind of pleasant this time of year for us in Phoenix because, you know, it gets to be 100 and something.
Mm.
It's still got to be 100 and something later in the day, but much cooler than normal, so.
Oh, my God. I complain when it's, is it humid, though?
Well, it was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But probably not like what you've expected. You know, it's probably 50 or 60% humidity, which is a lot for us.
Right. But normally, is it humid? No?
No, normally we have low humidity.
Desert like, dry, huh?
Yeah, like 5% or something. Good morning, Cher.
Good morning.
Hey, I've got a recipe I'm gonna try today.
Good.
And it's called quinoa with corn and basil.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds very good. The quinoa? Good.
Quinoa, yeah. It's made with quinoa and you put fresh corn and basil. You have to use a whole cup of basil. And it's fresh basil. I mean, I bought a package of basil, and you have to chop it up and put it tightly in a cup. So, boy, that seems, and then roasted red peppers, red onions, olive oil, and fresh lemon juice, which I don't have any fresh lemon juice, so I don't know. What do you think, Sha? It calls for 3 to 5 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. It's a concentrate. How much would you suggest?
Well, I'm really into fresh lemons, so I'm just still working on some that Lee sent me from California, or gave me when we were down there. That's how long, when we came through from New York. That was in June, early June, and they've held that long, laying on the basement floor. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, and so but what got me started was even before that, I used to always use the concentrated lemon that says on the bottle, and you can substitute that, but the flavor is so different that now. And Jeannie, you were a big one on that, too, the fresh limes and the fresh lemons.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's such a difference in the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that why you did it, or just because you got used to doing it? Or
well, no,
I wish I had
better.
You all here. I have them falling off the trees. I don't
get
know what
to
do with them.
I'll send my bag down. You can let it catch them and set them back.
And even the pink lemonade ones.
Oh, I know. They are so good. But the substitution is on your bottle of lemon juice concentrate, which is sitting in my refrigerator. I think I've used it once in the last 2 months because I just pull out a wedge. I just leave one in the refrigerator in the green bag, cut into, and I use about a quarter-inch wedge in my water every morning, and so then whenever I need it, you know, I take that lemon, and normally I can keep a couple of other lemons in the refrigerator also, and they'll never go bad on me for the amount that I use, but anyway, if you have to substitute, that's what you have to do.
I know, that's one of the ingredients I forgot. I forgot the darn lemon juice. I was so mad because I went out purposely to get the basil and the, a little basil plant, but not a whole cup, tightly packed.
Yeah. I know. I sparingly am using the bottom leaves, or after talking to Jeannie again, and it was your naturopath that said they don't have to look perfect. They can be a little sunburned, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See how much information we pick up from other people on this call? I mean, it just drives me crazy.
It's insane,
what I do without it. All these little things that you never bother to ask someone, but you look at something and you say, is this, you know, should I go ahead and use this, or is this not that good?
Yeah, she said, you know, a lot of people don't like the way it looks, but she said it's certainly edible. So.
And it's not going to change the flavor of anything. It's not like using something that's, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have one of them.
When you have fresh, you know, herbs like the basil, where do you cut them? Do you cut them from the top or the base? Or, you know, because I've been, I don't know. My poor herbs, they're just not doing well at all.
Give them horse manure. Find a horse stable and get a bucket of horse manure. They really do well on that. Mine are going crazy. I just clip off leaves.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Wherever they are on the plant, I try and keep the plant looking, you know, good.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you do, Jeannie?
Yeah.
Go around and just clip off leaves?
Mm-hmm.
And then on, like, I went out and got fresh oregano last night, and I just pulled that with a flashlight because I forgot to bring it inside. I just pulled little stems off and then just stripped the leaves off the stems because I don't particularly like the stem in it. I know it probably doesn't matter. Do you use the stem, Jeannie?
No, I usually take the stem off. But whenever I buy, like, parsley at the store, I just kind of chop. Sometimes I get some of the stem in there.
Sure, yeah. The oregano has more like it's more like a shrub. It's like rosemary, and you may not want the stem in that either.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of having fresh oregano in my... I have basil and rosemary. Those are the two things that I can grow real well here, and, of course, mint.
I would think the oregano would grow really well, too, because it is so hardy. I mean, it's like mint. You can't kill it out. It's like rosemary, really.
Okay.
You really can't kill it out. So I would bet, because mine has gone totally dry, never got water like one summer, and the shrub is still there.
Okay.
Well, mine died.
Pardon?
My mint died.
Well, different varieties of mint, yes, but there's some of them that you can't kill out. I mean, trust me, I've got one in my flower bed that there's no way I'll ever get rid of it. Without painting it with something that's, you know.
Now, do you take them out in the winter?
Some of them I do and some of them I don't. The rosemary and the oregano and the mint, no. But some of the mint. Now, I did have one mint die on me, but it was, you know, one of the more fragile ones, obviously.
Daddy?
Uh-huh.
As a general rule for plants, I would imagine the same holds true for plants, you know, basil. If you clip from the top, it bushes the plant out. It puts more energy into the bottom of it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I was doing. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's what I do with basil.
Yeah, herbs are not. They're in my garden window.
Uh-huh. Oh, and more sun.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're not. I don't know.
Can you put it outside someplace?
I could, but I was hoping that they would do well because I could keep them all winter too, you know.
Yeah, it's tough in this part of the country.
I know. I know.
You know, my
use the grow light in the winter.
Oh.
That may help.
I do, but they died with that grow light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody, I think I went to a, you know, where you can buy plants and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the herbs don't do well in artificial light. They have to have the regular good light.
Yeah, yeah. As I say to my husband, it's tough being a farmer.
Yeah.
And between the sun and the rain, you know, there has to be a happy balance and the warm temperatures.
Yeah. I mean, my other plants in the house grow like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I have two of them, but...
They're used to being in the house.
Yeah. But the herbs, they just don't seem to be doing well.
Yeah. I would put the herbs outside if you can.
Hmm. Maybe I will. So I'm out.
They need sun.
I know my basil, Ricky's basil plant, he bought two little ones, planted them. They're now like a huge bush. We planted them next door to each other.
Wow.
And they love it. They're right in the direct sun all day. And they are, one of them has kind of a purple tint to it, and the other one is the regular green one. And they are just gorgeous. I have to fight to keep the blooms off of them, though, lately.
If you pinch those little flowers off, it'll put more energy down into the plant.
Yeah, I need to do, well, we're fixing to leave, but.
No.
I do that too, Nancy. You're right. I forget about some of the things.
I mean, the same if you have a tomato plant to pinch off the suckers, because the suckers just draw energy that is wasted. Sometimes it's hard to see them because a sucker comes if you make a V with your two fingers. What grows in between that V at the base is a sucker.
Oh, right.
That'll put more energy into your tomatoes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it was my guest from Holland that showed me that. She went out and picked them all off a year ago and flipped them. She says, "Oh, you want to take these out?" And showed me, and I've done it ever since. And you're exactly right. It makes all the difference in the world, all the way up the stalk, wherever they come in.
It's certainly easier to see them at the top for me, but because they're so thick right now and so close together, it's hard to see any anymore.
And I think once you pick them out of that V, they don't come back, if I remember right. I haven't noticed anyway.
Not as profusely.
Yeah, and it may depend on the variety, too.
Sure.
Well, they're outside, and they're smiling, so...
Oh, good. Just make sure you keep them watered now that they're out, because they'll need more water.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I usually water them every other day anyways. They dry out a lot in the house, too, so...
Yeah, they will more outside, even. What kind of pot? Is it a plastic or a clay pot?
They're in plastic pots right now.
That keeps the water better than clay.
I want to get a nice-looking pot, you know, and put them all in there, so I would... to worry about.
Now that we're in the middle of August, you might as well. You've got a few more weeks there.
Oh, God. But do you take them in when they get when it really rains hard? I guess
mine are in the ground.
Oh. Well, why not?
Maybe I don't think the rain will hurt them because they're an outdoor plant anyway. And
they should be fine.
Yeah.
Just remember to use them.
Yeah.
I put it in my salad.
Oh, I do. That's what I've been doing. I've been throwing them in there, you know. It's not that I'm not using them. It's just they just don't seem to be doing well. I don't know. Oh, well. I'm going to try this here. They're smiling. They're all perky now. I've got to put some water in them, and he'll be happy. Thank you very much for all your suggestions. I appreciate it.
You never know what we're going to learn around here.
No, and I love this call because, you know, I learned so much on it.
Who listened? Did anybody listen to him on the conference call last night with Roger Drummer?
Forgot.
Oh, it was so good. He, a couple of things I pulled out of there was that we were talking about supplements and how a lot of times we look at them like medicine. And so we think, oh, well, we need vitamin C or we need this or we need that. And he said it's better... not to look at these as a medicine, but look for a program that you can use daily to offset the effects of the lifestyle that we lead. So, you know, talking about, you know, the air and how the wellness home is so perfect for that because it addresses those issues. It becomes a part of our life and becomes part of our lifestyle. And so then the children, you know, see us breathing, drinking great water, eating good food and that kind of thing, and then when they go away and they drink water at a restaurant and they go, ooh, I don't like this, then they see the difference. But about supplements, he was talking about that. I thought it was an interesting thing that as a society we have a tendency to look at things as a medicine. We want a pill for this and a pill for that. It's pretty interesting. And he talked about homeostasis. Have you heard that word?
Yep.
Yeah. I had to go look it up this morning because I couldn't remember what he said.
Balance.
But it's the balance, yeah, in the body. And what supplements do is that as you take them on a regular basis, we just can't get enough from our foods too much anymore. And so we need to supplement. And that allows us, it offsets the stress in our lives. And what happens when your body doesn't have a specific thing that it needs, then it will rob somewhere and will get what it needs. And so that makes sense. Oh, and he talked a little bit about he was answering questions too, the jade greenzymes and being acidic in the body. And he said a lot of times what throws the acidity off is not any one little thing that you're going to do. And he talked about some people, you know, just eat all kinds of animal protein and different things like that, and then they're afraid to eat one little acidic thing. And here all day long they've been acidifying their bodies.
Is he plant-based, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Sure. Yeah. I thought he might be. And water is so important in keeping our body alkaline, you know. So it's basically, you know, it's what you do all day. So the Jade Greenzymes are good to, you know, balance out all the time, but you can't just, it's not just like a one little remedy to make your whole body acidic if what you're eating is just what he was alluding to. Interesting.
I wonder if Steve tapes that call.
It was recorded by the company. So it's going to be on under your MyNeacon.com page under events and conference calls. It'll be recorded.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
How long
it's excellent.
How long does that call go?
About an hour.
Great, thank you.
He talked for about 25 minutes, and then they answered questions after that. And, you know, anyway, he mentioned something regarding autism, too. He said something that's in the making or something he had heard was for autism especially was to get rid of the wireless internet for the computer, that really a child that's sensitive to that will be affected by that. And he said to go back to the wired computer, you know, wires instead of wireless.
Did he say why?
Well, there's the frequency that puts off. He said all frequencies like that, computer, all that stuff affects our health.
Wow.
And he said, you know, people like pregnant women should be especially careful, but these special children, too, with autistic abilities.
I can imagine that. You know, it just makes sense because that is what's so critical in their life is that energy, the source of it, where it's coming from. And the other thing, I'm reading a long article on the microwave, and I think before Denny gets home, the one sitting in the kitchen that's left is going to disappear. But I can imagine that would be the same thing, Jeannie.
Yeah. What did
we
say there?
Phones too, though. And cordless phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you talked about, you know, when we what magnets do for our body is they help to regulate itself back to a more normal state. So when we sleep on the sleep system, when we wake up in the morning, we're more refreshed and ready for the day. The onslaught of things that we may be around, you know.
Homeostasis.
I like that word. I like to say it. Then he talks again about aspartame and MSG, and you just can't eat it. Don't eat it. It's just somebody had asked him about that, so he went. You could tell he was very incensed about it. And
well,
he talked about
they're doing an awful lot in Beijing. You know, they have segments on the Today Show with somebody cooking. And I don't watch that part of it, but I'm wondering if they're mentioning MSG at all.
Well, he said that, and I hadn't heard this before, but it must be somewhere, but they're talking about how it's natural and all of that. It's good for you. And he said it's glutamine is what your brain needs, not monosodium glutamate. It's the glutamine, which is I don't know if it's an amino acid or if it's a, I'm going to look it up here. Because I pulled out my one of these books because I think it's one of the, what do you call those? I think it's an amino acid. Anyway, I have to look at that.
I'm wondering, you know, since they keep saying, and this is all I heard, that we really don't cook Chinese in America, if they do not put MSG in China, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sure about that because...
Well, he says it's in 80% of all processed foods, and how he said if you want to not have dementia and those kind of things, you think about from the time you're in your 20s, by the time you're 50 and you've eaten all this stuff, it's no wonder that we feel like, you know, we can't remember things and stuff.
Well, kids are eating it.
Yeah. So he was very concerned about that.
Kids are drinking diet soda like it's water.
What were you going to say, Char? I'm sorry. I mean,
lost it. It wasn't anything. Oh, I was going to say I wasn't sure about it in China, the amount used. or how different some of the Asian countries are.
Mm-hmm. Because, do you think it's in other foods besides Chinese, like Japanese or Korean also?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Now, Thai is the one that has the least amount that I've seen so far. But there's an, see, it comes from a, you know, unless this is wrong, and I need to find it someplace else, but the MSG in the natural form comes, I believe, from sea plants, sea life.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what I read on one of them, like, you know, like I, and they were talking about not overusing, but see, it would be in the balance of everything else. It's not, they would not be extracted like what you're talking about. And they're
right.
talking about, you know, the extraction of it, and I think that's where we get into trouble. If you use the actual seaweed, you've got all the other nutrients with it, see?
Seaweed is supposed to be good, so it's the processing, maybe.
Oh, yeah, right.
Wow.
Extraction of it, or maybe they're into the chemical form of it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Well, on a more positive note, if
go ahead.
Who we've talked about beans before, they make a huge difference in elimination and getting rid of fat. I can testify to that one.
Beans. All right. And all kinds of beans.
Well, I made your recipe the other day with your okra that has the black beans in it.
Oh, good.
And I still have some chickpeas that I was put it that was in my salad anyway, so that's a double whammy. I don't know how much of it I'm eating, but I'm seeing results, so it's certainly worthwhile. The chiropractor I listen to has said if you want to get rid of fat, the best thing is beans.
Hmm. That's good.
Yep.
I went to dinner last night. We were invited to dinner at some friend's house, and we thought, well, I don't know what we're going to get, but we'll see, you know. Well, you know what they did is they made big pot of black-eyed peas. Actually, they had a big pot and a smaller pot. The smaller pot was made without ham. The other one they had was made with ham and a huge, beautiful, gorgeous salad and some bread. It was so cool. And they go, you know,
this way.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They do. In fact, they own the China Study, and they're both really wanting to work on their weight. She hurt a knee in February, and then she hurt an ankle right after that. So she's been, like, not been able to move around a lot since February. So anyway, it was really nice, and they loved it. And they tell me how they cooked their black-eyed peas. They cooked them, like, instead of in the crock pot, his family, they're from Wyoming, their family made the black eyed peas, where you soak them overnight and then cook them the next day, all kind of like all day on really low, and then turn them off. Let's see. How did he tell me he did that? Turn them off and put them in the refrigerator. And then bring them back up to the heat that you want to eat them at. I think that's how it went. I may have to ask him again. But, and he said what happens is it keeps the bean from being too crunchy. It's real done, but it's not smooshy. So it was interesting the way they did them. And I thought, well, I bet our pie water would probably do that, too, or would probably help with that. But they were delicious anyway.
You said that she has weight to get off?
Uh-huh.
I was just
they both do.
I was just looking for something that I had brought up, and I don't see it here. Maybe it's in my other book. For each pound of overweight you are, it was like, was it four times the impact on your knees?
Yeah.
That seems, you know, maybe that number will.
Well, that's what she said. Yeah, she said, you know, I know that when I lose weight, it'll help my knees a lot. And I
Absolutely.
Said, yes, it will. Yeah. Especially, I guess women have a lot of knee things more than men, it seems.
They do sports. It affects our knees differently than men, I think.
Mm-hmm. She's a skier. She likes to ski. Mm-hmm. Snow ski. But anyway, good. Anybody have any comments or questions about anything? What's going on with you? Or Do we have anyone new on the call today? It's just the advanced lifestyle call. After 25 minutes. And we are all on a journey of eating better and learning how to clean up our diet. Of course, exercise, drinking good water, and sleeping well in our sleep system and those kind of things, too. So I know I feel better when I do good things for my body and when I watch what I eat. And so welcome to the call. So for each pound, what was it about the knees again? For each pound of...
I think it's 1 to 4. Let me go see if it's in the other book that I have. Because I'm almost sure I wrote it somewhere. Keep talking.
Yeah. Keep talking.
Wow, I'm looking at basil in a recipe here, and it says fresh 1/4 cup torn fresh basil leaves or 1 teaspoon of dried. That's a big deal.
Oh. So 1 teaspoon of dried? Oh, wow.
Equals 1/4 cup. Or in this particular recipe, now they're using torn. I know that when you chop it, you bring in that stack of leaves, and you chop it, you don't have much left.
Mm-hmm.
And dried, it takes so much fresh to make a little bit of dried, so that's right.
So that would be 1/4 cup.
Okay. Yeah, 1/4 cup to 1 teaspoon dried.
Okay. Good to know. You know, I just always just shake everything in there.
I think that's where I got into trouble on one of my recipes that I didn't like. It turned out I shook in quite a bit too much of the dried. I was trying to substitute for fresh one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be more sparingly on the dried when I'm substituting it, or more generous on the fresh, one way or the other, either way, both ways.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm not finding it. I don't know where I wrote it. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Seems like 1 to 4 may have been it.
Yeah. I'll probably run across it somewhere. So it'd be one pound of
overweight.
Okay.
Quadruples the impact on your joint,
okay.
Your knee, specifically the knee, they said.
Weight on the knee.
And it was just within the last couple of weeks that we talked about it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, you know, I was looking in there's a new cooking light magazine. I picked it up yesterday at Whole Foods, and it has a beautiful article about tomatoes, and I noticed the tomatoes, they have all the pretty heirloom ones, you know, the different shapes and colors and sizes. It's so beautiful. I can't wait to read this article. I think maybe tomatoes should be our next week's thing.
So when you go to buy tomatoes in the store, which I certainly don't do right now, do they actually say that they're heirloom or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And
they do?
I bought because we're leaving to go out. Well, I don't grow my own, but not yet. They had some beautiful organic tomatoes that were, what do they call them, vine ripened or whatever.
Right.
And they were huge. And I bought 3 of those because I wanted to use some on we made some veggie burgers yesterday. And they were so delicious. It's just, there's such a big difference, you know, in a vine-ripened tomato. And I know they're even better probably when you grow them in your own yard.
Is it too hot for you to grow them down there?
Well, I think not. I think we can still grow them. I just haven't done it. I do remember one year I planted some in a big pot, some early girls they were called.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my girlfriends had grown those, and I had them in a pot. And I got a few off of that, but then we left to go out, you know, we went on our fair route, and nobody was here to water them, I guess. I didn't have a water dripper on them at the time.
When you say a pot, Jeannie, I use a 5-gallon pail, and they do really, really well in that. Denny punches holes in the bottom of them.
Okay.
And because of the amount of dirt, it's kind of like they don't know the difference between being in the ground.
Okay.
And they've just got a lot around them. And then you can move them slightly if you need to put them in a little more shade, you know, when it would get really hot. I think that might work really well for you.
Oh, good idea. And I've got 5-gallon pails around. Thank you.
Yeah. And I put a layer of gravel about 2 inches thick and then I put regular dirt in, and then the top part I do compost and manure and soil. I use a combination of three. In the last 2-3 years, I mean, I brought them inside in the solarium, taking them back out the next spring, and had them grow tomatoes that year, the second
year.
Oh,
wow.
So, you know, they're not as bushy and great looking, but neither was the nurseryman that developed the greenhouse down at the State Fair. I saw pictures of his that were 15 years old hung up on the, you know, inside of his greenhouse. They were just scrawly looking plants, but they were producing pounds and pounds of fruit. So there's all different ways around things.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. I'd like to try that. I really would. And that way you could move them around. That's a good idea. Thanks. Yes.
Just another thing on beans that I'm reading. I still haven't come across that, but beans, he says to eat 3 to 4 cups a day. It can lower your blood sugar as well as insulin. And another place he says water-soluble fiber helps flush cholesterol out of the body, and beans are good for that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Flush cholesterol out.
Yeah.
I have heard that before.
And to lower the blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's because of the fiber in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
right.
I was thinking, too.
Mm-hmm.
The fiber in the whole grain slows the absorption of sugar, yeah.
Roger Drummer had said about diabetes. He said basically they're not getting enough antioxidants. And so make sure to have a diet rich in phytonutrients and multivitamins, and water is very critical. I thought that was, I didn't know about that, because he explained a little more about that, which I can't as eloquently as he, but that's interesting. So a lot of antioxidants would be good for them. Good.
But they can't.
Well, listen, everybody.
They can't eat too much fruit because of all the sugar.
Right, right. So it would need to be supplemental, probably.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it. Of course, there's antioxidants. Aren't there antioxidants in all of our greens, too?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nancy's favorite eggplant, which I'm really stuck on right now.
Are you making it with the cheese?
I did one last night.
And it's good, isn't it?
I took about a half-inch corner out of it that was layered. And you roasted the eggplant quarter-inch slices in the oven before you put it together, and you just used them like you would the pasta. And then you had sun-dried tomatoes.
Ah.
As well as it called for tomato sauce, I just used a jar of spaghetti sauce. I had a glass jar of spaghetti sauce. And it really went together quite fast. It looked like it was going to be long and drawn out. And yeah, there was some time, you know, that the stuff was roasting in the oven. Oh, and it was layered with polenta that was cooked on the stove for, I mean, you just bring it to a boil, sprinkle it in, you know,
mm-hmm.
stir it, and then let it set, and then after it cooled for a few minutes, after it thickened and cooled, then you spread it in the pan and fried that out in the oven, and then cut it in sheets and laid it in layers. So once you did the different parts, I mean, it seemed difficult to read, but it was really simple when you put it together, and that's the polenta. Had the fresh herbs in it, and then what else had the fresh herbs in it? Oh, they were spread on the herbs were sprinkled on the eggplant when it was roasting also. So I like to leave those dishes set overnight to the next day and have them for dinner that following day, and so that's why I made it up a day ahead of time.
And then do you warm it up the second day?
Yes. Well, I will the first time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the serving. I don't warm the whole pan up, but you know, for serving somebody else, you would have
mm-hmm.
thing. But I just
that sounds great.
And I think it's gonna be good because oh, and the cheese I used, I wasn't real thrilled about because it said in little tiny print said melt. Well, it didn't melt very well, so it kind of looks like Japanese writing characters on the top of.
I thought it was garlic on. Because that's kind of, you know, a blob.
Pardon?
It looked like a little blob, and it looked like a whole head, you know, a whole head of garlic, not a head, but a whole thing of garlic. They look like garlic pieces all around.
Yeah, well, this I just cut in real thin strips, see?
Oh. I put some, okay.
I didn't want to try and grate it. It's too soft to do that.
No, I didn't. Oh, yes. Mine was the consistency of tofu. Was that what yours was?
Yeah, I guess.
There was no way it could grate.
Yeah. Well, no, mine wasn't that soft, but these were individually wrapped slices.
Oh, right. Mine was not.
Wrap them. But I've had other, alternative cheese that melts really well. So you try different ones. This was a rice cheese, and they do not melt so well.
It's okay. It doesn't matter that it doesn't melt.
No, and it makes it look interesting.
Uh-huh. Speaking of polenta, Shar, did you ever send down that broccoli and polenta recipe?
I
made it, so I thought you did.
Yeah, I know I did because I had it typed. Do you need it again, Nancy?
I don't remember seeing it in print.
I'll just shoot it to you because I know everybody else. I'm sure everybody else got it. I think they did.
Thank you.
Anybody? Did you see it come through, Jeannie?
I think so because I made it.
Okay,
I must have had a copy of it here.
I read it off once. Okay. I'll try and go back and I can't really look very well without going through everything. So, I could, I guess. I'll check.
Here, let me see here.
Hi, this is Mary Lou. May I ask a question of Shar? I don't think I got the recipe either, but does it only get the ones that come from Mary Lou? Is that the way she sent them?
I don't know that it went through. Will you give me your email also?
Uh-huh. MLRM 77.
M? Like Mary L R.
Mary L R M. 77.
At.
SBC.
SBC.
Global.
Dot net. Is there a dot between the global or not?
Yes.
No. SBC Global is one word.
Oh yeah.
That's one word, and then there's a dot.
Okay. Dot net.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't see it here. I don't know.
Okay, I'll send it down then. Maybe I did. I'll double check it then.
Okay. Good. All right, well, anybody else have any questions about anything? I've got to run. We're packing up today.
We'll have fun.
Packing up. Huh? Heading up your way.
Yes, have fun packing.
Tomorrow, I know it. It'll be fun.
You're not driving in one day, are you?
No, we booked a room in Sacramento for tomorrow night, so we're going to leave early in the morning. That's about a good 16-hour or 14-hour drive.
Whoa.
So we hot-footed up to there, and then from there we put our feet up, the one that's not driving, put our feet up and watch the scenery because it's so beautiful from Sacramento north. And then we'll be in Oregon Sunday night. We'll spend the night in Salem with some friends.
Okay. Have a safe trip.
I will. I'll be on my cell phone. So
good.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for the great information. You guys are awesome.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Call. Great call.
Thanks. Good call. And we'll talk tomorrow. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.